Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you. Getaway Friday, March the 27th, 2026, 15 minutes past the hour. Getaway Friday, joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Sister Earlene Hatch, her husband worked for, I believe it was Quaker Oats.
Could be.
That's what I recall Charlie Evers telling me.
I won't get into it, but yes, maybe.
She was one of the original gardeners at the community garden.
Uh-huh.
And I almost literally ran into her because she was driving her Mercedes-Benz down Center Street going over the State Street overpass. She stayed in the far right lane and almost collided into me.
I just remember when I was on WDCM, when I was doing the morning show there, 6 to 9 every morning, on Fridays, I told them that I wanted Charlie to be the guest host for the last, guest co-host for the last 2 hours every Friday, because he had a show on Saturday morning, and I thought, good chance for him to promote that. And also, you know, nice to have him on Friday, because we work together a lot. So he would come in on Friday, and I remember Sister Hatch had just gotten remarried, and I invited her in, and it just happened that she would come in on a Friday. And I wish I had this show. I'm sure it exists somewhere. The station doesn't exist anymore, but I'm sure I have it in my archive somewhere. But she came in, and I don't know what happened, but she had, for her honeymoon, she had went somewhere, and somehow the conversation drifted toward how men treat women. I think it was in France. And Charlie was talking about how men do what they do to women in France, and Sister Hatch was saying, well, no man would ever do that to me. And they really got into a dust-up there on that live radio show, and I just remember at the end, Sister Hatch, she told Charlie, she said, if he didn't watch out, she was going to whip him with a wet noodle. I'll never forget that. And that shut Charlie Evers up, I guarantee you that.
Oh, geez-y. You'd probably ask, would that be a noodle from noodle soup or what?
I don't know, but she got fired. It started as kind of an amicable conversation, but by the end, she was fired up because I think he was trying to tease her, and I don't think she was taking it that way, and it was like a runaway bus, and when she at one point, I just remember her saying, Charlie, if you don't shut up, I'm going to whip you with a wet noodle. And he shut up. So there you go.
Wow. Well, I'm trying to remember Fred Sanford's sister-in-law. God will get you for that.
There you go. That's right.
Do a better tomorrow.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. That was an interesting morning.
Sounds like it, yeah.
It was. You know, you had days like that. It was live. What could you do? And she also had a show on that station. She had Voice of a People. She you know, started that show with Linda. So, you know, she was doing a show there at the time, too. So we would have her on from time to time.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, nice little family there. 740-383-9944. And then the station went under.
Oh, well, that's no good.
Well, what can you do? It has to happen at some point. So anyway, interesting lady.
I think so. It's unfortunate that I never got to meet the lady.
She was powerhouse.
Sounds like
if you just go back and listen to the interview, the last interview I did with her was she came back from South Carolina, I think, in 2018, and I did 2 hours with her that day. Just listen to that. You get a pretty good take of who she was.
I'll have to do that.
Interesting
sometime.
Lady. Interesting lady. Always nice to me.
Hey, I like interesting people.
Oh, she was well-rounded.
I mean, I got a picture with Opal Covey at my house.
Yeah, she was well-rounded too, wasn't she?
That's right.
Oh, the calls just to Opal to hear what was going on. You know, I miss the eccentrics. You know, I like eccentric people like that.
I agree. Yeah, they're entertaining. They're you know, interesting kind of people.
Fascinating. I don't know if we have any eccentrics left in Marion anymore.
I'm sure there's somewhere.
I don't know. But anyway, so okay. Well, here's the thing. This Nancy Guthrie story. Geez Louise. This woman's been gone for 2 months.
Has anything happened?
Well, what happened was Savannah Guthrie gave an interview this week to the Today Show, where she works. Hoda. Cogby, whatever. But she did the interview with her. And it's a... Oh, my God. I didn't watch the whole interview, but it is so awful. I mean, you can tell this woman has been through the ringer. And at one point, she said, you know, basically she's asking, what information do you have as to why they might have taken your mother? And she says, well, we really don't have any evidence that they took her because I'm a celebrity and I might have some money. But that certainly is a possibility. And she breaks down and basically says, I'm sorry, mommy. I mean, it's horrible. It's just a it's one of the most, just awful interviews to watch. Because this woman clearly is, I mean, her mother's still missing. She doesn't know if she's dead or alive. It's been 2 months. She thinks she might be the cause. I mean, it's just awful. Awful.
Well, yeah, that's no good. I mean, it has to be a rough time for her. I mean, her mom's missing.
I don't even understand this anymore. I how in the world do they not find this woman?
Yeah, I'll give this lady a lot of credit. I think if somebody kidnapped my mom, I'd probably, I'd certainly wouldn't be as put together as she seems to be.
Well, I don't know how put together she is.
I mean, she's certainly good at hiding it.
Not in that interview.
Well, I mean, you know, it's an interview. I mean, like, she's released videos and things, and I'm like, well, she's holding up pretty well.
Well, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
I think you've got to have hope that she's alive. I mean, you know, for people who say, you know, that she's dead, maybe.
I hope not.
But her kids, they don't hope she's dead. I mean, it's such a tricky situation.
Well, I don't think anybody hopes she's dead.
Well, I don't know.
Why would somebody hope
she's
dead?
Well, because 2 months in whatever condition she must be in, I mean, that's got to be like torture for somebody her age. I mean, would you want somebody tortured for 2 months? I don't know. It's a very... it's tricky. It's tricky. It's why people pull people off life support. Because they don't want to see them that way. Now, if you leave them on, they'll be alive.
I mean,
see, that's where people get this all wrong. Life support is not always unconscious. Life support, people will come to you and say, listen, we don't think they're going to get any better, but if we pull this off, we don't know how long, it's only, you know, all of a sudden the doctors become religious all of a sudden. They say, well, it's the Lord, you know, if we pull it off, it's going to happen. We're just going to make them comfortable. And they're not always unconscious at that point. It's hard.
Hey, by the way, if I'm... Well, I was going to say, if I'm ever... I'm going to be dying at some point. But so, don't make me comfortable. I want to be fully aware of what death is like when I die.
But the problem is the person doesn't really... They don't have that conversation with the person.
Well, I just did with everybody.
No, I'm saying they don't the doctors aren't having that conversation with the person because they always will say, well, we don't really know what their mental capacity is at this point.
Well, if they're conscious, I'd assume they're speaking.
They are, but that doesn't...
I mean, if they're speaking and they can form, like, coherent sentences and they know who you are, I'd assume they're doing pretty all right.
Oh, not really. Not really. They might start talking about things that make no sense. I don't
know.
Well,
yes, but I mean, like, yeah, that's why I said coherent. If they're coherent, know who you are. I mean, I think it'd be pretty easy to tell somebody's mental state if they're rambling on about nonsense or
no. It doesn't. But it doesn't work. It's not like you'd have to see it. Sometime.
I don't know. I've never had.
It's a whole different
anybody
thing.
On life support.
Go ahead, caller. What's not life?
Okay, didn't we have the talk about end of life planning the other day?
Yes, we did.
Yes. So when you
were talking about you writing your obituary.
Well, yes, and in that process, I had done end of life planning, so I have. You know, I said I didn't want my family to have to decide these things, that I would go ahead and make the choice for them. And when you are pulling the plug, quote-unquote, pulling the plug, two doctors have to agree that there hasn't been brain activity for X amount of time. Two doctors that are not affiliated with you previously. So two unbiased doctors have to pronounce you no brain activity for X amount of time, and then my wishes would kick in. Or the family would be asked if they wanted to make the decision.
Well, what I'm saying is that sometimes it's not that subtle. Sometimes somebody is sick and they're in the hospital and...
No, that is not, it's state law.
No,
I just told you it's state law.
What I'm saying...
There's no decision about life support if whether... Now, there's DNRs, you know, like I've been sick for so long, do not resuscitate, that I've been sick for so long that I don't want you to... crack my ribs and do CPR on me and stick a ventilator down
yes,
my
but I will
and all of those things.
But do you know that still falls to the next of kin?
Do now you know have that a solid one in place.
You no, know, yes it does. Even if you have told them that you do not want to be resuscitated, because what can happen?
Scott, you need to get some paperwork.
No, hold on. You got to let me finish the sentence first. Now, what I'm saying is, if the person is still conscious and there is any hope that they will survive, even if it's 10%, that DNR is no longer in place. And what happens is, if you are...
I've seen people die on DNRs before.
No, but what...
people that have died.
What I'm saying, if you are conscious and not on life support, DNR...
Well, they're not going to let you die if you're alive.
Yes, they will. They will come to you, and they will have a conversation, and they will say, if we
take... This is if you are chronically ill and languishing, like, they're keeping you alive every time, you know what I mean?
Listen,
like, you're dying regularly, and they're keeping you alive artificially.
Well, right, but here's the thing. I knew... I don't want to
People that have serious illnesses like cancer and things like that.
Yes, yes.
They don't want to be resuscitated.
Right.
They just want to pass.
I knew. Okay, here's the situation. I knew a lady who had one of those, had a DNR, had an illness, but got sick with something else. They were conscious while they were in the hospital. They were conscious, but they had to have a machine put on them. Now, it was not life support, but it was a machine. And the doctors said, if we take this machine off, they will die. We don't know the time that that's going to happen, but they are not going to make it if we pull this machine off. This is what's keeping them alive at this point. It's not life support.
Well, okay, so now listen. If there's a difference between keeping me on a ventilator while my brain heals after a traumatic brain injury that I'm going to recover from, please do that. But if I'm going to be on a ventilator for the rest of my existence, I don't want to do that.
It's not. I'm not talking about a ventilator. But I'm talking about everybody thinks these are custom situations, and they're not. You know,
if you have a good document and it's laid out in the right situation, no. If I'm in a car accident, please, you know, try to serve. Keep me alive.
I'm telling you this.
If I'm languishing from some horrible illness, please just let me go.
I will tell you this. If you are on a CPAP machine that is keeping you alive, it is on your family to take you off of that. And if you have a DNR, they will not execute it until your family says to take you off. Because it's not life support.
Sleep apnea is a manageable condition. You don't.
No, no, I'm talking CPAPs keep people alive. They can crank those things up to 100% and keep you alive.
Yes.
And if they take it off of you, you will die. And
okay. And there's people that get up and go to work every day, and if they don't have their CPAP on at night, they've got to.
But this is not that kind of CPAP. This is a heavy duty CPAP used in intensive care. This is different. You could not get off. You can't get off of it. If you get off of it, you are going to die. Your oxygen.
I don't want to. Am I going to be able to get up and walk around and live?
Right, but a DNR is not going to be placeable at that point. Now, they will tell you what the person wants. They will tell you, but your family is the person who has to execute
that. Okay, so what it sounds like this person did was that they went and signed a little form with the doctor. Yeah, this I don't want to be resuscitated. What I have is actually a legally binding agreement that I went to an attorney, I signed, these are my wishes, and they are to be carried out, and nobody gets a say.
So if you have pneumonia,
that does not meet.
It can get to a point.
If you are brain dead. The only way doctors are allowed to make these decisions in the state of Ohio, often is the law, is if you are brain dead.
Right.
You have no brain activity for X amount of time, and it's not just like they decided, oh, she's brain dead. She's a stupid bitch.
I'm not talking about brain dead. You can die without being brain dead by being taken off certain machines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what the situation I'm talking about. And that happens to more people than you would imagine. You know,
I would argue that their paperwork wasn't.
Well, again, if you're not brain dead and you're conscious and you're still responding, but you can't live for an extended amount of period off
that
machine.
Technically not. It doesn't meet the criteria of death. You're not dead. So
exactly.
The doctor can't
decide but you will be if they leave you off the machine.
Okay, so do not resuscitate means I am dead and you're bringing me back to life.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But
that
the family
is not
can't.
Dead. Taking them off the ventilator will kill them.
Yeah, there was no resuscitation.
Okay, so again, the doctor comes in. You're conscious, but they've got you on the CPAP, and they say, mm-hmm. we cannot get you off of this.
You're not resuscitating me. I'm still alive.
Yeah, I understand, but they're not going to leave you on that for 50 years without any break. So they come in, and they will tell your family, they will say, listen, if we take them off, their oxygen's going to drop to 70, 60, and they will die. We cannot take them off this machine. This is not something we use at night. That's not the CPAP I'm talking about.
I get what you're saying, but it's more of a ventilator. It really is more of a ventilator.
But it's a CPAP. Okay, so, but that your DNR is not kicking in there. But we cannot take you off this. You're never going
to
be well.
Resuscitate. I have to be dead to be resuscitated.
Right, but you're going to die in this situation. If
okay,
we take it off.
Then there's not taking life-sustaining measures. There are two different things.
Right,
I have it set up that you do not take life-sustaining measures.
Right, but that is the situation.
At a certain point.
But that is the situation that a lot of people are faced with. Because most people, it isn't hard to make a decision when they tell the person they're brain dead. And they're not responding.
You'd be surprised.
Well.
You still feel like you killed grandma.
Eh. I don't know. I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I know you wouldn't, but you're not a normal person.
No, I don't know. I gotta agree with Scott on this one. Now, look, I like the people I like, but like, I mean, if you're brain, I mean, like, there's really
you would feel
if you're
like
brain,
you
there's really
the
not
right
a you
thing.
Left.
You would feel like you were doing the right thing, but somewhere deep in your heart, you would still feel like.
I don't know that I feel like a kid. I mean, grandma's dead. I mean, brain dead. I mean,
anymore. There's not much there.
She can't even talk to herself anymore. There's no brain activity.
Right, and if you send her to the other side, at least you can have a seance. But so you guys are able to reason like that. Not everyone's able to take the emotion out of it.
I'm just saying.
But there are two different things. There's DNRs. Okay, I come in dead. I've got this horrible illness, and I come into the Marion General again. Don't resuscitate me. Or, you know, I've got this horrible illness. Don't take life-sustaining measures. Don't put me on a ventilator. Don't put me on all these things that are going to keep me alive artificially when I have no chance of surviving without them. So I would have never gotten to the point where they're like, if we take her off this, she's going to die. I would have never been put on it.
But see, the doctors are never that definitive in those situations. When the person's conscious...
Well, they can't be.
Right. So what do you do?
You let the family make the bet. That's why I took the choice out of my family's hands.
But in
so
that,
they're not sitting there crying their eyes out and trying to decide whether or not to kill grandma.
But I'm saying in that point, if you are brought into the hospital for, let's say, pneumonia, and it gets to a point where the doctors cannot take you off the breathing machine.
I would have never been put on the breathing I guess.
You would. You would be put on the breathing machine. They are going to put you on it in the beginning if they think you can survive. It's only after a period of time that you're not recovering that they will say, there's a pretty good chance we're not going to be able to get you off this.
I guess I need a clause in my power of attorney, or my health care power of attorney, don't I?
Well, it comes to the family then, and the family has to, because there is no DNR
at
that point.
Listen, I am not letting these people decide whether I live or die because
well, there you go.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, imagine living with me. They'd probably be like, pull the plug. She just broke her ankle.
No, I'm just saying, I don't think, it's a very difficult choice, I think, for most people, especially if somebody's still conscious.
Well, it's definitely, my perspective is do as much as you can to keep your family from having any more pain at the end of your life.
But you don't, they don't look like they're in pain in that particular, they're doped up.
I'm talking about I'm laying there, not there. And everybody's around me crying. The last thing they need to do is decide who's paying for what, who's pulling the plug, what's happening. They just need to hopefully stand there and cry.
See, I think if I'm still conscious, that's not a point in my life where I care about being thrifty. So just leave that plug in.
Yep.
Leave it in. I don't even have anything near the plug where they can trip over and pull that plug out.
Scott, at that point, it isn't up to you. It's up to an insurance company.
Oh, no. They'll leave you on.
Not forever, they won't.
Well,
not forever.
Then put a generator on that sucker.
Leave me on until you can't.
Find something.
A hamster wheel.
If I still got
well,
a thought,
I just
so
listen.
I'm there.
That's right. And I'll tell you, and if it were somebody in my family who were in that position, if somebody came in and tried to pull the plug just for insurance purposes, there'd be a problem.
Oh, I'm gonna make you feel bad. Well, if you're gonna come in and pull the plug and I'm still conscious, I'm gonna hit on you the entire time. I'm gonna make sure you know.
They're not pulling the plug on people that are able to swing, Matt.
Oh, I'm not fighting. I'm not fighting. I'm just going to be like, hey, man, what you doing?
Well, and you know,
that's your best revenge.
All I know is there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, and I think most people think it's very definitive at the end.
No, death is a complicated situation, that's for sure. All
right.
We can do is
well, everything's
avoid
complicated.
It and prepare for it the best we can. Same
right,
time.
But I'm all for it. You know, I think we all got to go sometime.
Well, yeah, everybody's got to die.
Hey, what, for it or against it, it's happening, brother.
That's right. There's no way. But I don't know why people are so fearful of it. That's the thing I don't understand.
Well,
I just don't want it to hurt.
Oh, I'll be honest. Fear or death is one of my big fears. I like life. I mean, that's about it. I mean, I don't want to die.
Like life, but you don't. Who knows what happens?
I mean, it's going to happen.
Because you don't.
Oh, well, yeah, I know it's going to. You can't avoid death. I mean, but like, you know.
Well, I mean, you can prolong your life as far as that goes, but no, you can't. Hopefully, you can prolong your life, but no, you can't avoid death. I mean, we might as well just approach it like adults and prepare for it the best we can.
Well, how do you prepare? You can't prepare for death. You don't know what death is
no,
like.
No, I don't think you ever get in your own mind that you're dying.
I mean, woken up. Every day for your entire life, you've woken up and had another day. And you're gonna be like you could know you are dying, but you don't think you're gonna die that day. You're gonna
no.
be like, I'll be up tomorrow.
Yeah, if you're in your right mind, you don't.
I guess you guys have never really been around people when they're really in their last few days of life, have you?
I've been there when people died.
And they didn't think that like today's gonna be it, or
no.
you know, they didn't know that their time was very limited,
no.
and they just wanted to like see people and be. Call their loved ones, then you guys have never been in that situation.
I've
been in it more than once, where people are gathering around to see, you know, loved ones and say their goodbyes and that sort of thing.
Well, yeah,
so
no, I've seen that.
That was my neighbor across the street. I went and held her and talked to her, and, I mean, she was not coherent. I mean, she was enough that she could groan and squeeze my hand, and she actually sort of flung herself into my arms, but she died the next morning. I mean... You know, so.
I don't think they ever truly believe it. The ones who I've seen who were near the end and knew they were near the end and knew that problems were going on, they still were trying to live. They still were trying to.
Live like you were dying. That's what we're supposed to do every day.
Well, but to me, that you don't. If you told me I was dying, I wouldn't believe it. Why would I want to believe that? That would be a very bleak.
Yep.
That's
well,
how I want to spend my last days. Huh?
Nobody wants to believe it. No, that's why we try to enjoy our lives the best we can now, and because we don't know when the end is coming, but try to enjoy your life the best you can now, so when you find out you've got 6 months to live, you're not trying to go do all the things you wish you'd done.
You know, this is a sad thing, but this reminds me of a joke I heard one time. Of all those things, you know, you got to have levity in these situations. A husband and a wife went to a doctor,
And the husband went in and got examined, and when he was done, the wife went in, and the doctor said to the wife, said, "So I've got something horrible to tell you, that your husband only has hours to live. He's not going to make it till tomorrow morning, and I'm sorry, he's just, he's not going to make it." So, she's very broken up. They get in the car, the husband and the wife drive home. She's trying to think of how I'm going to tell the husband that he's not going to be here tomorrow morning. He's very, very sick. And she says, "You know, I'm going to break it to you easy here. You're not going to be around very long." And he said, "Well, you know what? Tonight I want to go out and I want to have the best meal that I've ever had. And tonight I want to come home and watch the best movie I've ever watched. And I want to have all the grandkids over. And tomorrow morning we're going to clean this house up and get it in the right position for what it needs to be." And she said, "Let's wait and do that tomorrow morning," knowing that he's going to die that night.
Okay, that's the joke.
That's the joke. The people are laughing at home.
Are they?
They are. There's something else in that joke that I realized along the way that I wasn't going to say, but there you go.
Well, what is it that you realized along the way?
I'm not going to put it in the... I had to leave it out for sanctitude purposes.
Hey, why do men die sooner than women?
Why is that?
Because they want to.
That's how you get away from your wife.
Get it?
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, if you're married, I think.
Well, you never know when we might convince one of you men that finally turned 30 or 31 to lure you into their webs and marry them.
You know, I was looking at something. I'd like to marry a nurse at some point in my life.
Well,
when I was going to
say, what
end.
Are you going to do when you die alone? Like, who does this?
Boy, doesn't that sound fun? He died alone. Put that in big capital letters.
Who pulls the plug?
I want to be at the, well, put me in the hospital. I'll die with the nurses.
So this is where the nurse wife comes in handy.
Well, what's wrong with dying with the nurses? They seem like nice enough people.
Oh, yeah, nurses are nice people.
I certainly don't want the, the wife around at that point? Good Lord. Hey, by the way, you know something?
Somebody needs to wipe your behind in certain situations.
Oh.
You need a trusted and loyal person to do that on a consistent
No, basis. I'd rather have the stranger doing that. I don't need that. I'm not that close to anybody where I want them doing that.
I'm not that close to anybody that I want them doing it either, but occasionally you have to.
No, but you know what's interesting? Now, this is totally off. This segues into more of the marriage topic, but I found this interesting. Recently, I think I saw or somebody told, I was going to bring this up a couple weeks ago, that somebody very young I know got engaged, and that's great for them. You know, congratulations and all that.
Sure.
But...
Don't do it, Matt.
No, but...
Oh, it's a scam. I'm aware.
But... There, I thought about it. I thought, first thing that occurred to me was, boy, aren't they young to be getting engaged? Isn't that young? And then it occurred to me that their mother has been married several times and also got engaged very young.
So marriage is just one of those things you do. Them.
Well, I think it's hereditary. I mean, I think that must be genetic or something.
It's hereditary.
So,
it's hereditary.
I was raised very religiously and, you know, abstinence only, obviously. So people married very young, and it was not uncommon for by the time you were 19 to have had your wedding and be living on your own with your spouse. So I think it's weird to be engaged and married that young, but, you know, that's it to each their own. They're adults. They can do whatever they want, in my mind.
But you don't think there's any correlation with the mother's varied track record?
Yes. Children are products of their environment, and like I said, you see someone treating marriage casually, then it's not a big deal to have your first one and done by your 21, 22.
Well, I don't hope it's one and done. I hope they make it.
No, listen, Pete, the rate for marriage is like under 25. You get married 18 to 25. It's astronomical, the divorce rate, just because people are still becoming adults in those ages, and they grow up, and they realize, I don't really like this person that I thought I loved from the time I was 14 until now. We're both two totally different people. Or, you know, I married this person on a whim at 19, and 6 months later, I can't stand them, sort of thing.
Well, I don't know that these things are on a whim. I just think that you're at a weird age. Listen, when you're 18, 19 years old, I don't think your brain's fully developed.
Oh, no, you're still
and
a kid.
But people celebrate it. I guess you have to. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. I'm probably going to rub some people the wrong way on this one. I have a hard time celebrating when 18 and 19-year-olds have babies. I'm like, man, you guys are still kids having kids. You just, you don't know what you've done to the rest of your life. Hopefully. I mean, you've added a major life choice very, very early on.
But I would have thought, see, now you say because the mother was married and divorced, that is why the child got engaged young. Now, see, I would have thought it would have been a deterrent to see that.
To me, it was. To see my family married and divorced so many times, that's why I've never been married. They didn't take marriage seriously, and I didn't want anything to do with that because I saw how bad the divorces were. I thought, why in the world would you keep doing that to yourself?
Well, I can't like I said, I've said it before, how people get married and divorced more than two times, I really am baffled.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you keep doing that to yourself? Why would you keep giving up all your crap?
But they'll tell you that it's love. It is so bizarre. What else are they going to say?
How can you have three fiancés in 1 year? Because I know people that have.
Well, that's fine. I guess because you're not closing the door. But I'm just saying, I don't...
You found three people in Marion, Ohio that you're willing to spend the rest of your life with in the same year?
Listen,
amazing.
Well, some people like a good party. They like a good engagement party. But my point is that I do not understand. When you are on the third, like I've always said, the first one, maybe it's young. You didn't know what marriage was. They did something to you. I'll mulligan. Okay. The second one, I'll be a little skeptical, but I'll allow it. Once you're divorced the second time, I can't anymore because I know...
You could work down at the civil court and question people before you hand out marriage licenses.
I think, like guns, you should have a cooling off period when you get these things. You should have... Listen, you want
to...
what?
No, your children need to be grown first. Come back in 3 years.
No, I just think when the person comes, how many times have you been married? Three. You know what? You're going to have to wait 9 months before we give you the...
Some people get marriage licenses issued with perforated divorce tickets on the bottom, and they just come back and slap it back down with $150, and you...
You know what? I really don't know some people's last names half the time. They'll just change them. There's another one. And I think, they must have got married again. I don't understand. Don't they understand the joke that has become? I mean, you think at some point they'd realize.
I think the women on Facebook that hyphenate, all of their married names.
That's so the ex-people can find them.
And you're like, whoa, how many last names is that? And then you look to see, if they're Latin and their hyphenated last names is a common thing in Latin culture.
But what's the
reason? Like Smith, Jones, Hansen, George.
Yeah, but what's the real reason? Really, why would you get married a third time? That's what we're talking about here. Why would you? What's the reason?
I think people like to get married.
Is that what it is?
I mean, yeah. I mean, people like to get married.
Do you think they like the wedding, or they like having a spouse, or what do you think they like, Matt?
Well, I think people don't want to be lonely. I think that's a big fear. People don't like to be alone.
I think they won't say no to the engagement.
People have to be married to not be lonely.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I mean, personally, I'm not lonely when I'm by myself, so, I mean...
See, that's good that you can enjoy your own company at this age. That's a good thing.
I think if you can't enjoy your own company, you have to be an awfully boring person.
Touché.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to condemn...
There's people that need constantly entertained. I mean, by someone else or something else. If you can't find something to do, to entertain yourself, reading or drawing or whatever it is that you do, then you're probably a pretty boring person.
Much like death, I think this is a more complex subject. Because
death, marriage, what else have you?
Well, they're the same thing to me. But here's the
same concept.
Same thing. There's a party and you send cards and after time there's a buffet. But the point is that I think that, if your goal in life, if you never really had a goal outside of being a mother, I think that the family unit becomes very important to you.
Oh, yes, and there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what your goal is to, and there are people that...
Well, I think there's something wrong with that.
For you it is, but
no, no, not for me. No, I'm just saying, I am okay if you want to be a mother, and I am okay if that's what you... Good, if you like that the best, great. But the problem is your kids grow up at some point, and those people become the clingy mothers, and they can't seem to get out of... They can't have their own life.
I
I'm actually trying to figure out something to do at the end of this school year. My son, he's going to be going off to Tri-Rivers next year, and he's going to be doing College Credit Plus program through Marion Tech. And for the last 6 or 7 years, I've done homeschool. So I'm like, what am I going to do all day?
Yeah, but I don't, and that's, well, you'll find something. You know, lawsuits and things of that nature. but the point,
maybe
the yes, point okay. is the point is that I just there's something, and I try to say this very carefully because I'm not downing mothers. Mothers are very important.
You can't make your children your entire identity.
No, and if you see when people tell me that, I immediately psychoanalyze them when they tell me that because I go, now wait a second. Now that's your goal. I mean, that's your thing. I mean, I get it. Die for your kids. And by the way, I agree. The worst thing that could possibly happen would be having a child die. I can't imagine what that would be like.
Okay.
Right. So, I agree on all accounts. But when that's your self-defined image, that's the thing I don't understand. I understand all the feeling toward children. I understand that they've got to be very important.
You mean when your whole personality is soccer mom or cheer mom or
If I'm saying to you, what do you want to be, what do you want to do, and it's mom, well, now we got a problem because there are different seasons and stages of mom. And to me, what you're telling me is you're not the best adapted at that particular situation. I don't, and by the way, you can't be all about mom if you're marrying people every 5 minutes, every time the light changes green. There's obviously somebody else involved there.
Well, listen, if you're going to be a stay-at-home mom, you got to have a good provider. It's all about the upgrades, Spears.
Is that really what it, oh, so, well, you know what, they usually do get a big house. Maybe that's what it is, and they just don't want to admit it. They just don't want to.
When you got a bunch of kids, you need a place to put them, all right?
Listen, how many people marry the divorce lawyer? There you go.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. All right, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I always say, we can go all day long about politics and all that. People love to talk about death, and people love to talk about marriage because nobody else is talking about it.
I don't know that nobody else is talking about it. I think it's just a universal thing. Everybody gets everybody dies, and I was going to say everybody gets married, but that's not true. But everybody, like, love is in everybody's life. Everybody's affected by it somehow.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you love your, like, parents and your
siblings. Well, you love your parents, sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The Grim Reaper.
Okay.
Well, see, I'm not answering the door.
Yeah, I'll be closing that door.
Chuck, do you realize that if you weren't dying, you'd be dead?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay, good. So, hey.
But see, I don't think we're like the Iranians. Now, see, they're ready. They know. They're ready to go. You know, they think that they're going to the celestial slumber.
They're going to those 12 virgins.
Yeah, but I don't know that all Americans are all that in that big a hurry.
Isn't it more virgins than that?
Who knows? They'll fill these idiots up with all kinds of crap just to get them to strap bombs on themselves. You were talking about that machine. Was that an adaptive servo ventilation system you're talking about?
I have no idea.
Well, you said it was a CPAP type machine.
Well, I didn't really get there. It wasn't my place to inspect that. I was not making any decisions.
Well, you said that if they took an individual off of that, they would die. Is that right?
Yes, I believe that was the case, yes.
Well, that would be categorized as a life support system.
Right, but in that, okay, well then we've got a problem, because if that's life support, DNRs don't matter, because they will come to your family and say, do you want this person taken off of this? Because if they are taken off...
Exactly, that's what happened in my circumstances.
Here you go. Did your loved one have a DNR?
Yeah.
And yet they came to you.
Yes.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
They were out of it.
Yeah. And that's not considered life support.
What's not considered life support?
The CPAP.
Was it on any kind of
Well, it's more because it's a do not resuscitate. You're not dead.
It's just unconscious. But at any rate, just be thankful that you're dying and you're not already dead, okay?
Well, not yet.
But I'd like to know, you know, they always say, oh, the late so-and-so.
Everybody's in a roughly 80-year-long process
of dying. With that phrase, oh, the late so-and-so wouldn't be here today. Were they late? No, because they were dead.
They were dead. Thank you.
Late.
Well, just like passed away. When did they pass?
What?
Passed away is another one of those euphemisms we like to use.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because the doctors, when you're in the emergency room or someone, they don't want to say that they tap dance around the word die or they will be dead or whatever. They tap dance around it. I had to ask the doctor one time, are you afraid to say dead? And he just kind of looked at me and walked away. So.
Well, I think that it's considered an uncaring word.
Oh, what the hell. Life is a bitch, and then you die.
And then you die.
Thanks. Better tomorrow.
All right, and from one of our listeners out there, all right. Well, I have to say the name, I won't say the last name, but it's Jeff. This is a male, because this will make this make sense. Each time I've gotten remarried, I've kept my maiden name.
That's good.
Well, yep, the man luckily can do that. Although
the woman can do that too, they just don't a lot of
no,
the time.
No, but do you? They should.
They
do
should.
You,
I agree. Yes.
Do you know that there are men who take the women's last name, the woman's last name?
Good for them, I guess.
I just think that's a weird situation.
I wouldn't be taking anybody's last name, and I would, and honestly, vice versa. You shouldn't be taking my last name either.
Well, I'm not going to take your last name,
I
gotcha.
Yes.
Well, you know what? If you're a celebrity, it's weird. Because celebrities do not take, usually.
Well, it's because, you know, because then you'd have a whole different last name, and they'd be like, who?
Well, but you know what's funny? It's weird, because this morning I woke up way early. It's because I went to bed early. And I was watching an old Larry King episode. None of this is going to make a whole lot of sense, but until I get to where I'm going here, Joan Rivers was the guest. And she was talking about her daughter. Now, it's interesting because Joan Rivers was her maiden name. And her married name was Rosenberg. But she her stage name was Joan Rivers. It became, because she did legally change, she's talking about it on the episode, because she was talking about getting stopped at TSA because her something, the boarding pass said Rivers, but her driver's license said Rosenberg or something like that. But anyway, her daughter, whose name was never Rivers, because that's the mom's maiden name, the daughter's name was Melissa Rosenberg. Always was, always is. But because the daughter went into show business and the mother was in show business, she wanted to capitalize on the mother's name, so she became Melissa Rivers.
As it goes.
As it goes. So there you go. I'm going to change my name to Scott Rockefeller. There you go. Go ahead, Colin.
Well, I've heard a lot of good talk, a lot of opinions, and it's really nice to hear all the different ones. But I'll ask both of you this one. Where did they get the phrase, and is it the correct phrase the way I want to say it? Yes, I have no bananas.
You work in produce, Matt. That's your department.
You got that right.
I stepped out of the way of that one like a moving bus.
Yeah, you did, and you know what? I had that on thought, but I didn't want to P.O. Matt because he has to work in produce.
Go ahead.
Maybe he likes bananas. You never know. See, and make him upset. Go ahead.
Well, I would like if you're saying like somebody went bananas.
No, there's a phrase. There's a saying.
Yeah, it's a phrase. We're talking about phrases and not getting married and all the off-the-life support and non-support. Non-support, that's why you're going to be on support.
This show may be on life support before the end of the morning. Somebody might have to pull the plug on this show before it's over.
I know. Go ahead. Have you ever heard that phrase? Yes, I have no bananas.
I have heard that.
I have not heard that.
Or is there a song, something like that? Yes, I have no bananas. Yeah. I have no bananas today. Maybe that's a song.
It's a song. It could be. If it's not, it should be.
We'll look up in the archives, and maybe next time whenever you can play it, Scott. Yeah. Have a good day, guys.
Hey, thank you. We're looking. We got a minute left this hour. 740-383-9944. Yes, we have no bananas. Does anybody know where that came from?
It is a song.
It is a song. Sung by who?
Louis Prima.
What year was that?
1923.
1920? I'm sure that's out of the public domain. Let's hear that thing.
Sure.
Louis, right here on WGH Talk Radio, Louis Prima doing Yes, We Have No Bananas. Boy, wouldn't you love to hear Adam karaoke this sucker? Here we go. Yes, We Have No Bananas by Louis Prima here on, boy, we get all the answers, don't we? Go ahead. Hold on. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
I got a question.
Yes.
Which my brother used to say this, why does people go get cleaned up, drive to the funeral homes, sign their names, stand in line, and say they're sorry, and then leave and then go out to eat? But if they went past that person's house, and that house was, that person you knew was not well, if you knew them well enough to do all this, why wouldn't you stop and say, hey?
It is very true. You know, they're not at the funeral home. They're not at the funeral. They don't. The body isn't even wheeled to the restaurant, which I think's terrible. So you're right. I mean, it's kind of strange. You know what? It's weird you bring this up, and maybe we'll talk about this next hour, because I think it's so bizarre. I don't like the dinners, because at the dinner, I'm thinking, what are we doing? We're not celebrating the death. We're really not celebrating the life, but we're here because they're dead, and we've just left the funeral home. I don't like those dinners.
Well, I think it's, you know, they say, well, they go for the family. Well, why didn't they stop and see? I have a niece that was sick for a long while, and when the funeral came, the place was packed full, and I really wanted to say, how many people went down Barks Road knowing she was there, knowing she was handicapped, and nobody bothered to stop and say, hey, I just was thinking about you.
You know what's interesting about that, and then we're going to go to break here, but you know what's interesting? Chip, our good friend, who yeah, as far as I know is still at the Meadows out there, nursing home, that's where I dropped off his gift card that Ted donated to him a few weeks ago from Kroger. You know, when I went in there to give Chip that, I mean, I hope people are visiting him, but I bet they're not. And the nursing staff all knew him. The residents seemed to know him. But it's sad because, you know, how many people are going to... He was so happy to have a visitor. And everybody seems to know him and remember him, but, you know...
No, I'm just, you know, because my brother used to say that. Why would you get cleaned up, take a shower, get cleaned up, drive to the funeral home, however far you have to drive, and then sign your name, say you're sorry, and then you leave and go get something to eat.
And go get something to eat.
And then you go home.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
And you know that person has been sick for years.
I know. Not fun
and
to go to. Yeah.
No one stopped to bother to stop and see her.
I agree. It doesn't matter. When it's over, it's over. Nothing you can say then.
Well, do you think it's called easing your conscience?
For some people. I mean, I think yes, but I also think there is something about a funeral where I think, like if I went and saw somebody who was sick, I probably, even if I knew they were very sick, you have to tiptoe around the fact that they're sick and the fact that they might be toward the end, and you're probably not going to say things you would say to them. But at a funeral, a lot of times now people feel they can get up and give that speech because the person is gone. And it's a weird thing, but I've been around so many people who were on their last legs, but I don't know if the family told them they were on their last leg, so I certainly wasn't going to bring it up. So I had more of a casual conversation with them, even though I knew it was probably the last time I was going to see them.
But you just think about that. How many people do? Well, a lot of times now, they don't even get cleaned up. They just go.
They just go, right. At my funeral, by God, there's going to be a dress code.
I'd think so.
There we go.
I would think so.
thanks for calling.
Tie, at least.
At least. You got to have a tie.
Well, I guess your buddy Matt won't get to go then. Right?
No, he won't make it. He'd be late anyway. He'd come about an hour after it was over.
Right.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good one.
All right. We still got an hour coming, and we've got Yes, No Bananas, Louis Prima next hour. Boy, stay tuned for that.
She is survived by her daughter, grandchildren, brother, siblings-in-law,